We're holding on Chafvav Amr Aleph, third line. We started discussing a Machlokas Abaya and Rava on the question of Hana Habala L'Odom Bar Kocha, a Hana that a person is getting even though they didn't necessarily want it. And we had two possible ways of understanding the scenario, where Abaya and Rava are arguing, and Rava saying it's Mutter, and Rava saying it not, that's not. We have when it comes to such hana, you have four possibilities because you have two factors to consider: efsher and loy efsher, namely where it's possible or not possible to avoid it. Loy efsher, as we said yesterday, Tosfos says doesn't necessarily have to be that it's completely impossible to avoid it. It would just mean that, for example, it would be a big hassle. It would be torach gadol, for example. We're going to have examples in the sugya of that, where it is, in principle, possible to do something else, but it would be much more difficult. So that's called loy efsher. So that's one factor. The other factor is mechaven, whether he's actually having kavana to enjoy the thing that's usur. So Rashi gives an example. Let's say it's a smell of avodah zarah, and mechaven is that he's actually bringing himself closer. He's actually moving closer to there in order to smell it better. Or Rashi says, actually, even if it's one of those scenarios where you can't physically come any closer, but still you could have miskaven would also be that he wants to have that hana, he enjoys it. Chaviv huloy lahonis, Rashi says he likes it and he wants to enjoy it even if he's not actually physically necessarily coming any closer. Anyway, so that gives us four possibilities: efsher and mechaven, efsher and loy mechaven, loy efsher and mechaven, loy efsher and loy mechaven. So the first version we had in the Gemara, the first lashon, was when he's mechaven, then either way, whether it's efsher or not efsher, then both Abaya and Rava agree that it's also, because what's he doing being mechaven for that iser? And on the other hand, if it was not mechaven and it's also not efsher, then of course it's mutter, because then he's an onus. The machloikas in the first version was efsher v'loy mechaven. He could just as easily be someplace else. It wouldn't be any bigger hassle or tircha or whatever, but he's not having kavana to enjoy it. But while he's there, he is enjoying it. Now, we should point out, I was about to say inevitably, Tosfos actually says not necessarily. It has to be that it's not necessarily psik reisha, because otherwise, then it would be also even according to Reb Shimon. We're going to talk now that according to Reb Shimon, it may be mutter, but if it's psik reisha, then we know that Reb Shimon wouldn't allow that either. So Tosfos actually learns that in all the scenarios we're talking about over here, it's not psik reisha, it's not inevitable, but it is highly likely that he's going to have hanah. And on the other hand, we mentioned yesterday that Ran learns differently and says that no, a hana in that case, where he's not even mechaven, can't really be considered a hana at all. In fact, you have a concept, the Aruch talks about a concept in a number of places called psik reisha d'loy nichale. It is a psik reisha, it is inevitable, but you don't want that psik reisha to happen, or you're not interested in it happening, and the Aruch learns that actually that wouldn't be considered psik reisha, and it would be mutter, so the Ran's shitta might fit with that. Anyway, so in the first version of the Gemara, we said the machloikas therefore is, within Rav Shimon's opinion, given that Rav Shimon says Dava Sheinu Miskaven Mutter, so Rav Yehuda, who would say Dava Sheinu Miskaven Osir, for example, you can't drag a bench on Shabbos because he may dig up the dirt, then obviously there's no question, according to him, Kavana or not doesn't make a difference, and either way, the fact that it's Efsher, that you could be someplace else, would be reason enough to make it Osir. But Rav Shimon, what would he say? So Abaye says Rav Shimon would allow it. Rava says that not necessarily, because after all, Rav Shimon maybe only allows it when loy efsher, when, for example, with the bench, it would be a much bigger hassle to bring the bench to someplace else, some other way, for example, by carrying it, therefore he allows you to drag it, but not necessarily in our case, where it's just as easy to be someplace else. That was version number one. Version number two in the Gemara, the Ikka d'Amri, was that no, when would they apply the machloikas of Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda would actually be when that case that we just said, Efshev Eloi Mechaven, yes, both Abaya and Rava would agree that that is the same as the machloikas of Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon. Not like in the first version where Rava would say that Reb Shimon himself would make a distinction there and agree with Reb Yehuda. No, in the second version, we're saying that case, Efshev Eloi Mechaven, is exactly what Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon are arguing about. The machloikas in the second version is loy efshe v'kamechavin. So exactly the opposite scenario as in the first lashon, where it's not possible or not easy for him to be someplace else, but he is having kavana to, once he's there already, he's having kavana to enjoy it. So the machloikas is not according to Reb Shimon, because according to Reb Shimon, the fact that Reb Shimon says that your kavana is important, he says, for example, you can't drag the bench if you mean to dig up the dirt with it, then that you only can when you're not mechaven, then according to him, for sure, it would be also, the question is now, in the second version, according to Reb Yehuda. Abaya would say, just like Reb Yehuda would, now Reb Yehuda usually is machmir when it comes to, where usually the shitta of Reb Yehuda, that we say, for example, you can't drag the bench as a chumrah, but here Abaya says it results in a kula. Reb Yehuda says that normally you go according to his kavana. Here he has no kavana, because he's loy mechaven, over here we're saying loy efshe v'kamechavin, but Rabbi Yehuda doesn't care about your kavana. He says you're also to drag the bench whether you have kavana to dig up the dirt or not. So therefore, here it's loy efshe, Rabbi Yehuda would allow it. On the other hand, even if you're mechavin, because the fact that you're mechavin doesn't make a difference. On the other hand, Rava says that even Rabbi Yehuda would only say that l'chumra, he wouldn't necessarily say it l'kola. So in short, so far where we're up to is that in the first lashon, we're saying that if it's efsher v'loy mechavin, if he's able to equally well be someplace else or do something else, but he's there, he's doing what he's doing, but he's not actually having kavana, he's not coming any closer, or he's not actually having kavana to enjoy the smell or whatever. So that's when we're saying would be the machlokas. And in the second version, we're saying the other way around, loy efsher v'kamechavin, he can't easily do something else, but once he's there, he's not actually having kavana to have hana from the, he is having kavana once he's there already, loy efsher, it's impossible for him to be someplace else, but once he's there already, once he's forced by circumstances to be there, then he's having kavana to enjoy it. So most of the discussion we're going to have now in the Gemara is going to be based on that second lashon. So Amar Abaya Menah Minullah. So Abaya says, where do I get what I'm saying? That if loy efsher but mechaven, then it's allowed. The Tanya, Amru Olav al Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, they said about Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, now he was already the Nasi, not the Nasi, he was the Avestin, whatever, before the Bais Mikdash was destroyed. So, Shehoya Yoshev B'tzilo Shel Heichel, he would sit in the shadow of the Heichel, the Dirdish Kolayim Kolay, and Darshining in Torah all day long, because he's Darshining the people in particular before the Yomim Tovim, he needs to teach them the Halachas of the Yomim Tovim. Now, the point is, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai had a lot of people attending his Jerushas. There wasn't going to be any building in Yerushalayim that would be big enough to fit all of them, but they can't be sitting in the sun all day. Therefore, they would sit in the shadow of the Heichel, and he would teach them. Now, the shadow of the Heichel, isn't that using Hekdesh where you're not supposed to? V'ha-hachar d'loy efsher. Now, over here, it's impossible. Again, not impossible, per se, but he has to be able to teach them the halachas of Yom Tov, and that's the only way to do it is to do it in a place where it's shady. So it's loy efsher, according to that definition. Umichavin, he is having kavana to use the shadow. In fact, one of the mafoshim in the back, Rabbi Elazar Moshe Horowitz, points out an interesting detail. Not only you could say, okay, maybe he happened to sit in a place where the shadow of the heichel is, but it says kolayim kolay throughout the day, where the direction in which the shadow is located changes. So it would mean that throughout the day, he and his crowd are getting up and sitting in different places in order to enjoy the shadow of the heichel. So they're obviously having kavana for it. Vishari, and yet we see it's mutter. So therefore, Abaya says, so you see from that such a thing is mutter. The Rava Omar, Rava says that's not a valid proof. Shiny Heichel de la Toichai Osui. It's different with the Heichel because the Heichel is meant to, is the purpose of the Heichel is the inside of it. So therefore, using the shadow of it is not Derech Hana Osui. So that would mean, in other words, just like we learned before about Isurei Hana, that most of them are only osur derech hana osur. We said bas v'cholav and kilaya kerem are an exception. That even shaloika derech hana osur is osur. Here we're talking about an issur of me'ila, of using hekdesh. So fine, it's shaloika derech hana osur because it's not in the normal way, and therefore he'd be potter. Tosfos explains that we learn it by Exeter Shava, we learn it by Exeter Shava from Truma. With that said, there are Mephoshim that ask, okay, but isn't it still also Dirabbanan? And obviously Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai is not going to be over on Dinim Dirabbanan either. So there's a few answers, one of them being that where it's a Tzorech Mitzvah, then Dirabbanan are not going to make that Gzera. Usually, yes, the Chachamim would say that even something that, that's only also Derech HaNa'asai, Midirabbanan at least it might be also Shaloika Derech HaNa'asai, unless, for example, you're using it for a sick person, as we discussed in the previous Sugya, well then okay. Here it's for a great tzodachol, so in order to teach the Rabbim the halachas of Yom Tov. Therefore it would have been allowed as well. Okay. So there's no proof from that, says Rava. But Amar Rava Menami Nalah. So now in turn Rava says, how do I know that such a thing is osur? If loy efshar, it's impossible to do it any other easily practical way, but mechavin, we still see as also. Where do I get that from, says Rava? The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, actually it's a Mishnah, in Midas. Lulin ahoyu psuchin ba'aliyas beis kodesh hakodashim, there were trapdoors or skylights installed and opened in the attic of the kodesh hakodashim. So like this, you had, the heichal had, there was a ground floor where you had the kodesh, the ulam, the kodesh, and the kodesh hakodashim. Above the ground floor, there was a second floor. And in the floor of that second floor above the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there were holes in the floor, trapdoors, whatever, that you could go down through them into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Shebehen Meshalshonas Umnin Batevis. They would use those to lower down. We learned this at the end of Erev, and also we talked about this. They would lower down the workmen into the Kodesh HaKadoshim in boxes through those holes, so that when they need to repair something in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they could just do that. They can fix the wall without Kadesh Lo Yazunu name in base Kodesh HaKadoshim, so they don't satisfy their eyes and enjoy the sight of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Kodesh HaKadoshim, after all, was made very beautifully. In the first Beis Mikdash, you had the Ara in there and the Kruvim. In the second Beis Mikdash, you didn't have that, but still the Kodesh HaKadoshim was very beautifully decorated with gold panels and everything, so you don't want Pasha, the people are going to be standing over there and enjoying the view. So like this, they were in the boxes, and all they can see is the part of the wall that's in front of them. We learned, by the way, at the end of Eruvin, that that's only if it's possible to do that. If let's say we need them to fix something in the middle of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then we don't have that option, then we just send them in normally, because then there's no choice. But where there's a choice, where, for example, it's just they're there to fix a crack in the wall or something, so then they send them down in the boxes. Says Rava, v'ha'hacha d'loy efshar v'kamachavin. Now consider, in this case, you're talking about it's loy efshar, it's impossible to do it any other way, because we've got to get the Kodesh HaKadoshim fixed. V'kamachavin, but we're still saying, if they were to have kavana to look at the beauty of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then it would be osur. V'osur, and we're still saying it's osur, and therefore we have to send them down in the boxes. So that shows that even loy efshar, if mechavin, is still osur. Now, Tosfos says, obviously, the Gemara could have answered Abaya could answer that goes only according to Reb Shimon. But the Gemara would, Abaya would prefer to make it work according to everybody, especially because, I mean, that is a Stam Mishnah there in Midas. We don't find anybody else arguing with it, and Bepashas, according to Reb Yehuda, they had the holes in the floor over there also. Reb Yehuda, usually we try not to make a machloikas in Metzios, a machloikas in the actual facts of what there was there or what there wasn't, unnecessarily. So therefore, we want an answer that's going to work according to Reb Yehuda as well, according to Abaya. So Rava says, so therefore you see, at least according to Reb Shimon, and maybe even according to Reb Yehuda, that it's also. So the Gemara says, "V'tisbara." How do you think to ask? How do you think that that's a valid contradiction against Abaya? Bechlal, would it even be meila if they were to look at the inside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? V'ha'amr Reb Shimon ben Pazi, amr Reb Shimon ben Levi, mishum bar kapara. Koil umare v'reach ein v'hen mishum meila. When it comes to the sound of the musical instruments in the Beis Mikdash, now the musical instruments themselves are hekdesh. If a person were to take one of those instruments and use them for his own purposes, he would commit meila. But if he's just hearing the sound of the instruments playing, or Mare, he sees the beauty of the Beis Mikdash and the Kelim
Lem and so forth, the Reach, or he smells the smell of the Kodesh, in Behen Mishu Me'ilah. Me'ilah does not apply to them, Daraisa, because there's no Mamashos in them. So therefore, so fine, usually you might say, maybe you would say it's also, maybe you would say it's also Drabbanon, maybe you would say it's also Drabbanon, but Rashi says, given that the factors over here, they need to get the Kodesh HaKadoshim fixed. So therefore, even if you're going to say that, normally the Chachamim would say that Mara is also under an Issur Drabbanon, but they shouldn't impose that Issur Drabbanon when it comes to fixing the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Tosfos says the same thing. So Bechlal, if you said that Mara had was considered Me'ilana Daraisa level, then fine. The Chachamim can't exempt anything from it, even for fixing the Kodesh HaKadoshim, therefore we need the boxes. But if Bechlal, the sight of the beauty of the Beis Mikdash, is not considered Me'ila Daraisa, maximum it would be Dirabanan, then it shouldn't apply to the Kodesh HaKadoshim as well. And it shouldn't apply to the Kodesh HaKadoshim at all. So how can you even be asking from that on Abaya? Ela Maila also the base Kodesh HaKadoshim. Obviously the answer is that even if we say there's no Me'ilah in it, then the Chachamim still wanted to make a Maila. They still wanted to make that people shouldn't just be walking into the Kodesh HaKadoshim as is. Out of respect for the Kedusha of the place, they should be going down the boxes in order to show that it's different than anywhere else. The same thing you could answer according to Abaya as well. It would be completely mutter, technically, because after all, either way, it should be completely mutter, because there's no me'ila involved in koil. So we could also say, therefore, that it is mutter even on the grounds of loy efshe v'kamachaven, but still, even so, when it comes to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, we want to do things differently. So no proof one way or the other. Okay, Ikadamri, another version goes, Amar Rava, Menah Minala. The other version goes that Rava says, where do I get my opinion that Loi Efshar V'Omechaven is Aser? The Tanyo, the Amar Rav Shimon Ben Pazi, Amar Rav Shimon Ben Levi, Mishum Bar Kapara. Exactly that. The fact that he says, Kol Omar V'Reach Ein Behem Mishum Me'ilah. The fact that he says that the sound of the musical instruments and the sight of the Bis Mikdash and the smell of the Ptoris, Ein Behem Mishum Me'ilah, Me'ilah does not apply to them, implying Me'ilah hu deleka. So, okay, there's no issur of Me'ilah daraisa, and if a person does that, he's not going to be chayev to bring a korban Me'ilah. Ha issura ikka, but the implication seems to be that there is an issur, because otherwise, why is he using the expression ein behem mishum Me'ilah? He should be saying mutter. So, my lav la'oisana omnim mifnim. So wouldn't we assume that what Rav Shimon Ben Pazi is talking about when he says that it's that ein behem mishum me'ilah, implying, in other words, there is an isser, but there is an isser, but we're not going to, we can't make him chayv according to me'ilah because it's only drabanan. So my lav la'osin o'imdim mifnim. The pastress then that would apply to the people who are standing inside the Bis Mikdash. So those, for example, the Kohenim who are serving over there. So they have to stand there. It's loy efsher. They can't be anywhere else. And nevertheless, we'd still be saying that it's also for them to have kavana. If they end up smelling it because they can't help it, then fine. Then of course that's mutter. We said before, then they're onus. But they're not allowed to be mechaven, it sounds like, because otherwise we shouldn't say ein behem mishum me'ilah. We should say mutter. So therefore, according to the second version, Rava says there you see that even if loy efshar, if michaven, it's still awesome. The answer is the Gemara says not necessarily. No, maybe what it means is for the people who are standing outside the Bis Mikdash, then for them it's an iser, because they after all don't. For them it's efshar. For them, it's not a matter of loy efshur. They could equally well be someplace else, and then they won't smell it as much, or they won't see it, or whatever. And therefore, if they do, even if loy mechaven, then you could say that because it's mechaven, and for them it's efshur, then therefore it would be also. That doesn't necessarily show that when you're inside the Bis Mikdash and it's loy efshur, that it should still be also dirabanan. Not necessarily. Okay. So in other words, the idea in now, Tosfa says, the fact is, there's a Gemara in Yuma that mentions that no Kala in Yerushalayim ever needed to wear perfume because the smell of the Tertus permeated the city. So what we mean is, in other words, again, when we said before about mechaven, that one meaning of it is in order to is that a person comes closer to the source of the smell in order to smell it. So that would mean, in this case, you wouldn't be allowed to derabanan. Maybe you wouldn't be allowed to come closer to the mishmikdash in order to smell the smell of the Torah. But if you're smelling it just because it permeates the city, then you can't help that. That's loy efshar v'loy kamechaven. We can't expect you to go out of the city because of that. On the other hand, the Gemara is going to make a distinction soon between before the Tertus was burnt and after it, and there are some of the Mephoshim that say that that might be also what we're saying. The Gemara and Yuma over there was talking about that after the Tertus was burnt, then the smell permeated the city, and then Kalos don't need perfume because of it. That doesn't necessarily show that beforehand, that it would be, that maybe beforehand, as the Gemara is going to say soon, you would actually be chayav from the Ila for smelling it, which is what we're going to discuss now. So the Gemara says Gufa. Getting back to we just said, Amar Shimon Tazi, Amar Shimon Levi, Meshum Bar Kapara, Koil Umara Vareach Ein Behen Meshum Meila. That the sounds of the Avoda, the sounds of the instruments and the sight of the Beis Hamikdash. And remember, remember the Gemara tells us in Sukkah that anybody who didn't see the Beis Hamikdash as renovated by Hurdus never saw a really beautiful building in their life. Because it was the most beautiful, so that would be the mara. That's the kind of mara that we're talking about, or v'reyah, or the smell of the ketores. So a person enjoys them ein behem mishum me'ila. So Reb Shimon ben Pazi had told us that there's no me'ila in them, meaning at least on a daraisa level it's mutter. So the problem with that is v'hatanya. We learn in a braisa. Now, the Torah tells us, as far as the Torah, you're not allowed to duplicate the recipe in order to smell it. Ish esher yasa kamoya lahariach ba, a person who makes an exact duplicate of the ingredients of the Torah in their right proportions, and he makes it lahariach ba in order to smell it, v'nichras me'amav, then he gets karis. So, Braisa explains the details about that. Hamafatim esak Torah, if a person makes Ketores, so it's his own private, batch. Usually the ketores for the tzibur. Well, the ketores first of all has to be made in the Beis Hamikdash, and usually you had Beis Avtinus would be the ones who made it. But now you have a private person is mixing up his own batch of ketores, following the recipe that we say every day in Pidgin Ketores. So if he does that lihislamed ba, in order to learn how the ketores should be made, or he's doing it in order to give it over to the tzibur, that after he finishes making it, he's going to give it to the tzibur, potter, then he's potter from kares. As far as the giving it to the tzibur, doesn't necessarily mean that it would be usable as ketores then, because again, it has to be made in the azara. But he thought at least that he was going to give it to the tzibur and it was going to be kosher of ketores. Anyway, so then he's potter from kares. Lahariach b'chayev. On the other hand, if he makes this batch of tortoise in order to smell it, then he's chayev. V'hamiriach. But here's the key thing: v'hamiriach b'potter. The one who smells it. Meaning, if you have Reuven made this batch of tortoise, and then Shimon smells it, then he's potter from kares. Ela shamoal. But he committed me'ila. I said that wrong. Vamiriach ba does not refer to a private batch of ketores. That's talking about that last part. Vamiriach ba is talking about the ketores of the tzibur. So not a private batch of ketores that Reuven mixed up. The Beis Avtinus went and made the ketores in the Beis Mikdash, as they usually do, and Shimon came and smelled it. So that, he's potter from ketores, because only a person who makes a batch of it, lahariach bo, in order to smell it, is chayav kares, and he or Shimon didn't make it, he's just smelling the ketores that belongs to the Beis Hamikdash, but ela shamal, but he did commit me'ila. So we see that the smell, there is me'ila. So what are you telling me, Rav Shimon ben Pazi, that there's no me'ila in smell? So the answer is, ela amar papa. So rather, a papa says there's a difference between these three things. We mentioned all three of them together, koil and mara and reyach, but there's actually a difference between them. Ela omer a papa, koil o mara ein ban mishum meila. When it comes to the sound and when it comes to the sight, there's no mamoshos in them. Ein ban mishum meila. Meila doesn't apply lafisha ein ban mamash because there's no mamoshos to them. As opposed to reyach, when it comes to the smell, The smell has a certain mamoshus. The samonim, the ingredients of the ketores, have a mamoshus. Therefore, there's more reason to be chayav. Now, you could ask, I mean, so the same thing. The building of the Beis Mikdash also has mamoshus. One of the answers is actually so one of the answers is. And the Rosh gives an answer that what we mean by has mamoshus is something that actually enters your body and gives you pleasure. You see the Beis Mikdash, but I mean you have light waves are going into your eye, but it's not really a noticeable thing that you could say that is going into the person's eye. The same thing with sound waves as opposed to smell is something that your neshama actually gets pleasure from it. When we say kol neshama to halokah haloluka, it includes, that's where we get the idea that there has to be a bracha on fragrances, unlike many other kinds of intangible pleasures that you don't say a bracha on. You do because it's considered more tangible. Your neshama actually enjoys the smell. Another way of looking at it, which is a little easier to understand in modern terms, is the light waves that reach your eyes and the sound waves that reach your ear, they don't really have any mamushes to them. They're subatomic particles or whatever. They're photons or whatever. Waves in the air, as opposed to fragrance, is actually molecules of it. When you smell something, there are actually molecules floating off it and going into your nose, and those molecules actually have mamushes. Anyway, the point is, Rapapa is saying that the difference is so again, according to Rashi, the key thing is that the ketores itself has mamushes. According to these other mafarshim, according to the Rosh and Tosfos Chachmei Anglia, the point is that there's a difference in the what we can call the smell has a certain mamushes that sight and that sight and hearing do not. So therefore, so Rapapa says, when it comes to reyach, la'acha shetala timrusay, after the smoke of the ketores has ascended, in other words, after the ketores has been burnt and the smoke has gone up, then ein by mishum me'ila, then me'ila doesn't apply anymore, hoyo v'nasas mitzvah, because at that point the mitzvah with the ketores has been done. So therefore, so when we're saying that there is me'ila in smelling the ketores, we mean if you smell it before they burnt it. But after you burnt it, that's when we're saying that ein boi me'ila, so it might be also drabanon, but it would be mutter on a daraisa level, which again is another answer to as far as what Tosfos was mentioning about the business with the perfume of it permeating Yerushalayim, that after talatim rasay, then already there's no me'ila in it daraisa, and since it's loy epsher, it's impossible, you can't expect a person to have to go out of Yerushalayim not to smell it, so therefore they're allowed to smell it, and they're allowed to therefore not have to use perfume as a result of it. Anyway, the point is, we brought that in because we wanted to explain what Rav Shimon ben Pazi said. The point is, though, we're still in the middle of, so this is kind of all a digression from the Machloikas Abaye and Rava. We still haven't established yet, we still haven't found a proof yet one way or the other for this matter of Loi Efsher V'Kamechavin, where it's impossible for him to be someplace else, but he's having Kavana. Abaye brought his proof from Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai and the shadow of the Heichel, and Rava shot that down. Rava brought his two proofs from the attic of the Kodesh, from the boxes going out down into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or from the very fact that we say Kol Amar V'Reach Ein Bam Mishum Me'ila, and we shot both those down also. So now we're going to finish off discussing this matter of Reach, when we say there's Me'ila in it and when not, then we're going to get back to Abaye and Rava. So we just said that when the mitzvah has been accomplished with something, then Me'ila doesn't apply to it anymore. Therefore, we're saying with the Ketores, once it was burnt, once the smoke has gone up, which therefore that's what the mitzvah is to do with the Ketores, then at that point, if you smell it, then there's no more Me'ila. So the question is, Lememra d'chol hecha d'nasas mitzvah se'en b'em shem Me'ila? So you're telling me that whenever the mitzvah has been accomplished with something, then Me'ila doesn't apply to it anymore. Vare trumas adeshen, consider the trumas adeshen, the ashes that are taken off the mizbeach. Now you actually have, there's two kinds of taking off the ashes off the mizbeach. One is what they did. One is every day the kohen would take a shovel full of ashes off the mizbeach. This is we say in morning davening, Tzavas Ayin Ves Bonav Lemer. The Samay Eitz on Mizbeach, you should take the Hedem as Hadeshin, the Samay Eitz on Mizbeach, he puts it next to the Mizbeach, that's the daily Trumas Hadeshin. Then you had, every so often, the Mizbeach would get full of ashes, and then they would put them in a big pot and carry them outside Yerushalayim and drop them off over there. Rashi says we're focusing on the first one. The Rambam actually holds that every day they would clear off the Mizbeach and take the ashes outside. He learns that they would do two things every day. First, they would take the shovel full off and put it next to the Mizbeach. Then they would clear off the rest of the ashes and bring them outside of Yerushalayim. And according to him, Trumas Hadeshin in the Gemara over here might mean both of them. Anyway, the Nasis Mitzvah, so consider, once the ashes have been dropped off where they're supposed to be, the Mitzvah has been done. The Yeshba Mishum Me'ilah, and yet Me'ilah applies to those ashes. If a person were to use those ashes, he'd be chayav for a Korban Me'ilah. Dichtiv V'samay Eitz on Mizbeach, because the Pasuk says about the Trumas Hadeshin, he should place it next to the Mizbeach. So the word V'samay means Shelo Yefazer. He shouldn't scatter it, he should put it down gently. And V'samay Shelo Yehonah, the word V'samay also means it has to stay there, that he shouldn't have Hanah from it. In fact, in a number of places, in fact, Rashi over here, and in some other places in Shas, mentions that it would actually get swallowed up into the ground, B'derech Nes, in order to avoid the problem, because otherwise you're going to have, if it's also to have Hanah from it, even after that, what happens? A person is going to walk by there and accidentally have Hanah from it, he's going to be chayav from Me'ilah, so therefore Nes would happen and it would get swallowed up into the ground. Anyway, the point is, we see there that even though Nasis Mitzvasa, the final mitzvah has been done with those ashes, but nevertheless, Me'ilah still applies to them. So you see that even though something Nasis Mitzvasa, Me'ilah still applies. The answer is, so why don't we learn from that to everywhere else? The answer is, you can't learn from it to everywhere else, Mishum to have a Trumas Hadeshin, or Big De Kahuna Shnei Ksum Abayim Ka'achad. Because this din by Trumas Hadeshin, and also a similar din by the Big De Kahuna, by the clothes of the Kohen Gadol, the Big De Lavan that he wears on Yom Kippur, those you have two psukim that teach us the same concept, that something was nasis mitzvosai, and it's still also b'ana. So you have two psukim that teach us the same thing. B'chol shnei ksuvim avoyim ka'achad ein melamdin. When you have two psukim that teach us the exact same thing, then we don't learn from it for everywhere else. Because if we had it by only one place, then we would say, okay, we make a binyan of mikos of echad. We would say, we make a binyan av, we make a mamatzinu from there to other cases. But if the Torah repeats the same thing by another case, then it amounts to saying that it applies only to those two, not anywhere else. Otherwise, we could have learned one from the other. Now, we also have binyan of mishnei ksuvim, because sometimes what you have is, sometimes the Gemara will point out that you couldn't have learned one of those two things from the other, because one has a chumrah, the other one doesn't have, or whatever, and therefore we actually need both of them, and we can learn from them for other places. But this isn't one of those places. Here, where it says, by Trumas Hadeshin and Big De Kahuna, both of them, it says you can't have Hanah from them after the mitzvah has been done. So it means it applies only to those two things. So Trumas Hadeshin Hodam Moran, we said, by Trumas Hadeshin, what we mean by that even though the Deshin was put down on the floor over there, Me'ilah still applies until it gets swallowed up into the ground. Big De Kahuna, where do we see the same concept applies by the Big De Kahuna, the four clothes of the Kohen Gadol, on Yom Kippur, Dichtiv, V'hinicham Sham, the Pasuk says that he takes them off, V'hinicham Sham, and he leaves them over there, and that also means Malamat Chaton and Gniza. That means they have to be put in Gniza. He can't use them again, a future Yom Kippur. A Kohen Hedyot can't use them in the future, even though most of them are the same as the clothes of the, most, if not all of them, are the same as the clothes of the Kohen Hedyot, as we'll talk about in a second. Nevertheless, you can't. So by those two mitzvahs, you have this concept where Nasis mitzvah say, and still Moil and Boy, so therefore that means it doesn't apply to anything else, including the Ketores. So the question is, okay, that works out according to the Chachamim, who say that that's what the pasuk means, that you have to put those clothes of the Kohen Gadol on Gniza, and you can never use them again. Okay, well, there's your second pasuk, Trumas Hadeshin and Big De Kahuna. El Rabdoisa de Poligalai, who, what about according to Rabdoisa, who argues with them? De Omar Abel Ruinhein Lakoyan Hedyot. Rabdoisa says that no, those clothes of the Kohen Gadol could in the future be used for the Kohen Hedyot. Now you have like this. Three out of the four of them are in fact the same as the ones the Kohen Hedyot wears. Michnasayim are the same, actually all the Big De Kahuna Well, all sets of Bigdei Kohanim, including the clothes of the Kohen Gadol, include Mechasayim and Ksones, and that are the same. Mitznefes, okay, the Kohen Gadol wears a Mitznefes, the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Hediot wears a Mikbas, but it's still the same thing. It's a strip of linen, though the Kohen Gadol just winds it around his head differently than the Kohen Hediot does. The fourth one, the Avnet, there's actually a Machloikis. We know that the one that the Kohen Gadol wore on Yom Kippur, when he wore the Bigdei Lavan, when he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, is made purely out of linen. We know that the one that the Kohen Gadol wore the rest of the year was made of Tcheles V'Agoma and Tcheles Shani, is made of a mixture of wool and linen. The Machloikas in the Gemara, in Yuma, is what about the Avnet to the regular Kohen throughout the year? Was that, like the Kohen Gadol's Avnet on Yom Kippur, made only out of linen? Or was it, like the Avnet of the Kohen Gadol throughout the year, made out of a mixture of wool and linen? So if we say that the Kohenim's regular belt throughout the year was made out of linen, exactly like the Kohen Gadol's on Yom Kippur, then it comes out all four Bigdei Kohuna of the Kohen Gadol from Yom Kippur, all four of those would be usable by a Kohen Hediot throughout the year. And Reb Dosa says that's what it means. It means the Kohen Gadol himself can't use those Begadim the next year, but a Kohen Hediot could use them anytime during the year. So according to him, they don't require Kniza. So umai v'hinicham sham, and he says, what does v'hinicham sham means? Just shloish damash b'em yemek kippurim achav, just means the Kohen Gadol himself can't use these begadim on another Yom Kippur, but the Kohen Hediot can use them anytime during the year. So according to the dosa mai ikalamemer, what are you going to say? You have so far only one case, Trumas Hadeshin, where it requires gniza after Nasas Mitzvah, and the illa still applies to it, and we should learn by binyan av to everything else. And yet we're saying before that we don't, and we said before that the Ktertus, Reb Papa had said before that the Ktertus, after it was burnt, then Mi'ila doesn't apply to it anymore, Daraisa. So why not? The answer is because even a Chonchit of Dosa, Mishum to have a Trumas Adeshin, Ve'egla Arufa, Shnek Suma Boim Kechad. Because aside from Trumas Adeshin, you have another case, Egla Arufa, which is also Osa Bahana, and we see also over there that even after the mitzvah is done, it remains Osa Bahana. So there we have Shnek Suma Boim Kechad. And again, V'chol Shnek Suma Boim Kechad and Melamdin. Namely, by the Egla Arufa. So what do? We take the Egla Arufa to the valley over there, we decapitate it, and then the pasuk says, V'orfu shom es the Egla banochal, which means that you have to bury it, and it's also bahana. So you see, therefore, that so you see that's another case when Nasas Mitzvah and Me'ilah still applies. Not really Me'ilah, per se, because it's not Kodrim, but still the concept that it's still also still applies. Then you can't, if you have Shnei, well, we're going to have a different opinion in a second now. We're going to have Rabbi Yehuda, who holds differently. But yes, the general rule is that, as you said you've been learning Kiddushin in Rabbi Heber's Shiur. I think that was covered in an earlier part of Kiddushin, like around Daf Chav Beis or so, maybe. I don't know. Anyway. What? Oh, okay, anyway. So you have like this. In general, we say that Shneks Suma Boim Kachod, if you have two different psukim, if you have like this, for example, Trumas Hadeshen and Bigdei Kohuna, where each one, individually, the Torah tells us that it's also Bahana after it's been used, that itself is meant to be. If it meant to be applied across the board to, for example, Ktodas and the blood and so forth, then it would say it only once, and we do a binyan av from that to everywhere else. The fact that it says it by two different ones, and we could have learned one from the other, means the Torah wants it to be exclusively only to those. No, binyan av just means that you say, just like over here, you find, binyan av is also called mamatzinu. You would have just said, just like by Trumas Hadeshin, we're nasis mitzvasa and still moilin boy. So the same thing, you'd say anything else that nasis mitzvasa is also moilin boy. But because we have a second one, then that prevents us from doing it. So now, okay, so even according to Reb Dosa, again, it's not Trumas Hadeshin in Bigdei Kohuna, according to him, it's Trumas Hadeshin and Egla Arufa. So the question is, hanichal mandoma ein melamdin. That works out according to the opinions that say that once you have two psukim, ein melamdin, el lamanda oma melamdin, but we have the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rashi refers it to a Gemara in Sanhedrin. If I remember correctly, it's also in Kedushin and in some other places. Actually in Masoros HaShas over here, it brings on the side over here all the different places in Shas where it says, Shnek Sumabuim Kachad, yeah, one of them is Kedushin Daf Chav Dalad. Anyway. Anyway, so according now in some of those places, the Gemara points out that Rabbi Yehuda has an opinion that Shneksim Aboyim Kachod we could be lomid from them, because he says, okay, the same way as we talked about before, we talked about a few days ago, for example, that you could have something that you could have learned from a Gzeira Shava, but instead the Pasuk writes it out for us. The same thing you can have over here. Okay, you have, let's say, for example, Tosfos mentions in one of these places that we have a concept that says sometimes the Torah will repeat an entire parasha, an entire myth, an entire description of a mitzvah, for example, because it wants to add one new detail that we didn't have in the first place. So the same thing over here. You can have a second pasuk where it mentions the concept that it has to be put in Gnizah. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that doesn't necessarily block us from using it as a binyan av for anywhere else. So according to him, what are you going to say? Now, obviously, the Gemara could answer, okay, he disagrees with Rabbi Dosa, and therefore you have three. You have Terumas Hadesh and Bigda Kona and Egla Arufa, but the Gemara wants to be able to find, even if we say that Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Rabbi Dosa, how it's going to work. So my ikalamema, so what are you going to say according to Rabbi Yehuda? The answer is Tre mi uti ksivi. Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, the difference is here it's not just Sheikh Suma Boim Kachad. Each one of those ksivim has a miut built into it to tell us that it applies only to those. Namely, ksiv v'sam moi, when it comes to the Trumas Hadeshin, it says you should place it, implying only it, not other things. And uchtiv ha arufa, when it comes to the Egla Arufa, it says the word ho egla ho arufa banochal, the egla that was decapitated, where it could have just said ha egla, or it could have just said arufa, or whatever. So therefore, in each place, we have a miut that it applies only to this thing. So even Rabbi Yehuda, who holds shnei ksuma boim kachad, would be malamdin, but here, because of these miutin, even here, he wouldn't say that. So that's that, therefore. So we've established, therefore, that most things of Kodshim, once Nasas Mitzvasa, then Me'ila or an Isur doesn't apply to it anymore, Daraisa at least, with the exception of Shumas Hadeshin, and according to the Chachamim Bigde Kohona, according to everybody, Egla Arufa, Ketoros is not in that category. Therefore, that leaves us with what Rav Papa said, that with Ketoros, there's a difference between before it was burnt and afterwards, where before it was burnt, then smelling it would make a person chayav a korban me'ila, and afterwards not. Afterwards, if he smells the fragrance of it after it was burnt, then he wouldn't be over on me'ila. No, that was the damp, that was the blood of the kodshim, the deshin, right. Once the deshin... Well, so that's the thing. According to Rashi, that the Trumas Hadeshin we're talking about over here is Davka, the one that's placed next to the Mizbeach. According to Rashi, it may well be that the Deshin that's taken outside Yerushalayim and dropped off over there at the deposit place north of Yerushalayim, they actually found about 100 years ago a place that seemed to be it. Nowadays the whole pile has been cleared away. Nowadays you have the whole thing has been built up. You have the neighborhood of Sanhedria is in that area, Beis Yisrael, a couple of other neighborhoods are in that general vicinity. But now there's no trace of those mounds left. But 100-odd years ago, they found mounds of ashes over there that they did some chemical analysis on them and said it seems to have been possibly the ashes from the Beis Mikdash. Anyway, whatever the case, the point is, according to Rashi, it may come out that those Me'ila doesn't apply because the Samai that we're talking about over here is only the one next to the Mizbeach. According to the Rambam, who holds that every date from a Sadeshin involved also taking it outside the Machna, maybe according to him, Me'ila would apply to those also. I don't know. But maybe even not. The fact is, because the Vesama is still talking about the one that was placed, Eitz Alam Mizbeach, so even though the Rambam might learn the other part that we say, Ufasha, that's brother of Alavash, brother of Machedim, Vo'itziyah, Machot Machna, the Rambam learns that was done every day, but maybe he would agree that Me'ila doesn't apply to that either, because already at that point, it's not Vesama, it's not next to the Mizbeach. Anyway, fine. Now we're going to get back to the Machlokas Abaya and Rava. Again, we're still dealing with the case where if we're saying that if the person has Kavana, then Rava is saying it's Osir, and if he's in the case with Loy Efshar, it's impossible for him to be anywhere else, or difficult for him to be anywhere else. So we said that if he's Loy Mechaven as well, then he's for sure Mutter, then we'd say he's for sure Mutter, even Rava would agree with that. But we said if he's Mechaven, Rava would say he's Osir, Abaya still says he's Mutter. So now let's continue with that discussion. So the Gemara says Toshma. We learn in a braisa. So Rashi says the following braisa is going to be referring to the Egla Arufa. Tosfos says that it's actually referring to the Parah Adruma. It doesn't make a great deal of difference because both of them, you have the same din. Both of them they become possible if they were ever used for malacha. By both of them, it says an expression in the pasuk that they can't have been used for malacha. By the part of Adoma, it says, I share like Ubad Bar, I share like Ola Aloha oil. By the Gladrofa, it says similarly, I share like Ubad Bar, I share like Moshchava oil. So anyway, the point is, so the Braisa says, Hichnisa l'rivka, or l'rivaka, or whatever, v'dasha, if the person took the egla, or the para, into the team of animals, where Rashi describes they tie four cows together, and have them thresh, and he brings the baby animal in there, v'dasha, and while it was there, it threshes, he didn't mean for it to, k'shera, so then it's kosher, because he didn't bring it in over there in order for it to thresh. He brought it in over there in order for it to be with his mother, or whatever. So the fact that it threshed was, it wasn't his kavana. On the other hand, well, it could be it was tied along with them, it could be that, not necessarily, it could be that his mother is there in the team, and then they brought in the baby in order to be with his mother. Yeah. But Bishvil Shatinak Vitadosh, but if he brought in the baby animal in order that it should nurse from its mother and thresh as well, so then Psula, then it's possible because he had Kavana that it should be threshing. Now Bahahacha the Loy Efsher become a Chavin. So consider this is a case of Loy Efsher. It's impossible to not bring it in. He has to bring it in order to nurse and become a Chavin, and he's have it. But we're saying if he has Kavana that it should thresh, the Katoni Psula, then we're saying it's possible. So you see that even Loy Efsher, if Mechavin, it's also like Rava says, because he's Mechavin. The answer is shiny hosom. It's different in that case. That's a special case. Dichtiv asher loy ubad ba mikol makom, because the pasuk says about the egla rufa or about the parah adoma that it was not worked with at all. In other words, usually such a thing might be mutter, but here gzeres hakosev that's also. So the question is, Yehochi afilu reisha nami. So wouldn't the same thing apply in the reisha as well? The fact is, in the reisha, it threshed also. Why is it in the reisha you're saying it's okay, and the sefer you're saying it's not? You see, his kavana makes a difference. The answer is, holoi damya elaloha. The answer is that rather, if you're going to, you have to compare it rather with the following case in a Mishnah in Parah. The Mishnah says about the Parah Adoma, now the Parah Adoma again, also you can't have work having been done with it, but the Mishnah says, Shachan alayah oif, if a bird rested on the animal, Ksheira, then the animal is still kosher for the Parah Adoma, Allah alayah zacho, but if a zacho mounted it in order to mate with it, Psula, then it's posel. Yeah, because the point is, in other words, now Rashi says, by the Parah Adoma, by the Parah Adoma, the expression in the pasuk is loy ola aloha oil, that a yoke never went up on it. So therefore, but the point is, it has to be something that nichale, it has to be something that he would want. He doesn't want, or he doesn't care, whether the bird is landing on top of the Parah Adoma, because he has no benefit from that. But when it comes to the male mating with it, he does have benefit from it, that now it's going to become pregnant, and so Tosfos asks the question. I mean, a Parah Adoma is worth zillions of bucks. Why would he care? So actually, Tosfos gets into a little bit of discussion about it. First of all, Tosfos says, you know what? Fine. Of course, now because it's a Parah Adoma, then therefore he doesn't want it. If it weren't for that, if let's say the din was that it didn't make the Parah Adoma possible, he'd be happy for it to happen. Because don't say, hey, let it, and it's not only because it's a Parah Adoma. Only because it's a Parah Adoma. That's not reason enough. If we had said that it's kosher, then it would be nichale. So now the result is kind of a catch-22. We can't say that it's kosher because then that would make it that nichale. So because it would be nichale, because he would want it, if it was kosher, therefore we have to say that makes it puzzle. If it wasn't for the special din of a Parah Adoma, it would be nichale. If he was able to get the best of both, that you could have Allah Allah Zachar, and it would still be kosher, then it would be then he would like that. Therefore, in other words, there is a certain sense of that he does like it. There is a certain sense of nichale, and therefore that's reason enough to passel it. Tosfos then actually goes on with a little bit of discussion about the pros of cons, the pros and cons of that maybe what we're talking about is he actually sees it going on. He actually sees the male mounting it and nichale. Maybe if he didn't see it, then maybe it wouldn't passel it. Anyway, the point is, my timer, now why is there that distinction between whether nichale or not? Again, if the pasuk says, asher lo ola aloha oil, it shouldn't matter whether it was nichale, whether he wanted it or not. So, omar ha-papa, because like this, ikasiv Ovad, Vikarin, and Ovad, because you have, like, the way the word is written in the Pasuk, the word is Ubad, it was worked, but it's written in the Pasuk, it's written in the Sefer Torah, Ayin Beis Dalad, which can also be read as Ovad, he worked. Now, Ovad, he worked, is active. Ubad, it was worked, is passive. So Rav Papa is saying, Iksiv Ovad Vikarin Ovad, if the wording in the Pasuk was, it was written, Ayin Veiz Dalad, and we actually read it with the Nekudas Ovad, then it would mean it would only be possible, Ad Ovad Ba'ihu. Then only if he himself made it work, would it be possible. On the other hand, Iksiv Ubad Vikarin Ubad, on the other hand, if it was written in the Sefer Torah with the Vav there, so that the only way to read it would be Ubad, and then we read it Ubad, then it would mean Afilim Mela Nami, then it would mean even if it happened on its own, that it did work, it would also be possible. But hashtadichtiv ovad v'karinin ubad. But like this, we have a hybrid over here. On the one hand, it's written with the letters of the word ovad, but it's pronounced. The Masorah tells us this is a concept that the Gemara discusses in a few places. You have yesh eim l'mikra, yesh eim l'masorah. Do we go according to how it's written in the Sefer Torah, or do we go according to how it's pronounced? And in this case, actually, the Papa is telling us both of them are correct. So we have, on the one hand, Ovad, he worked. On the other hand, Ubad, it was worked. Therefore, Ubad Dumya de Ovad. Therefore, the halacha is going to be that it's going to be also if Ubad, but only if that Ubad, it was worked with, which is Memela, only if it's similar to Ovad. Ma Ovad de Nichalei. Ovad implies that he wanted it, because after all, he did it. Af Ubad de Nichalei, the same way that Ubad is only going to pass it, only if Nichalei, only if he wants it. So that's what results in what we said, that, for example, a bird landing on top of it is only Ubad, there's no Ovad in it, he has no Hana from it. On the other hand, the male mounting it, there is a certain degree of Ovad over there, because he would have wanted it to happen. Again, like Tosfos says at the beginning, if it didn't make it possible, then it would have been Nichalei, so therefore that, there's still a certain Nichalei there. Or again, like Tosfos says, maybe it has to be that he's standing there and wants it, whatever. The same thing in the previous case, Anamad Aleph, involving the Egla Arufa, or the Parah Adumah, when we're talking about bringing it into the team of animals, in the Reisha of the Braisa over there, he didn't want it to thresh. It threshed, but it was not Birsona, it wasn't Nichalei. No, it's not even, because in fact, Tosfos says, first of all, he's not really gaining anything, because anyway, the grain is getting, first of all, the team is anyway doing a good job threshing, bringing in a little animal over there is not really going to add anything extra. In fact, also Tosfos brings from Harav Rabbeinu Yehuda, that the Parah Adumah, especially again, Tosfos is going according to their shitta, that we're talking the Parah Adumah, which is a fairly young animal, you don't really want to be matriach it, usually, to be doing the threshing, which is, after all, hard work. So therefore, if I care, it's loy nichalei, you don't want it to happen. So therefore, it would be fine. But if you brought it in, intending that it should do threshing at the same time that it's nursing, then already it's nichalei, then already you have the ovad ubad, and therefore it becomes possible. So no proof from that about the regular case of loy efshe become a chaven, because here it's a special gzeres hakosuv, that over here you have ovad ubad, which you can't apply to other places. Yeah, so a separate limud, yeah. Okay, Toshma, the Gemara says, that we'll bring a proof from something in Perek Elomatsias. And by the way, the Gemara has, this same discussion, but going at it from a little bit of a different angle, is in Elomatsias as well. The Gemara starts with the discussion over there, it starts with the Mishnah that we're going to quote now about an Aveda, and let's learn the Mishnah, and then, Toshma, Aveda, when you have a lost object, let's say, for example, you found a carpet, or a blanket, or something, you're not allowed to spread it out on a bed or on a peg or a frame or whatever, for his purposes, in other words, in order to decorate his house, but he can spread it out for its needs on a bed or on a peg. In other words, the Mishnah explains over there, you find something like that, you have to spread it out every so often so it doesn't get moldy. So therefore, so you're allowed to do it when it's necessary, like every 30 days or whatever, to keep it from getting moldy, but not where you're doing it in order to decorate your house. Nizdamnu loy urchin, if the person has guests visiting him, loy ishtachen, loy agave mitav, loy agave mogit, then he's not allowed to spread it out on a bed or on a peg, bein letzorkoi, whether it's because it needs it, because the 30 days are up, let's say, or because he wants to decorate his house. Now, again, that's an example of loy efsher and mechavin. Loy efsher, because he has to spread it out every so often to keep it from getting moldy. Become mechavin. He's having kavana that his guests should admire the nice thing that he has in his house. And we're saying that's also. So you see that loy efsher and mechavin is also, like Rava is saying. The answer is shiny hosam to kolila. The difference is, in that case, the reason it's also nothing to do with the usual case of loy efsher mechavin. There it's a special thing that applies to an aveda. It's because by spreading it out there, when there are urchim, he's burning it. In other words, he's destroying it via daim. Imashum ein abisha. First of all, he's bringing an ayin hara, that now people are going to look at it with an ayin hara, which now is going to have an effect on it. Imashum ganvi, or because of ganovim, they're going to see it and steal it, or they may even see it there and know that it's in the house and then come in at some later point and steal it. So by putting it out there, you're drawing attention to it, and that attention itself is going to harm it. That doesn't necessarily show that in other cases that it should be, that doesn't show that in other cases necessarily it should be also. Maybe, maybe not. I was going to say, the Gemara in Eilu Metzias, by the way, brings this because the Gemara starts there with a different discussion. Are you allowed? Would you be allowed to put out the blanket Letzorkoi and Letzorka, where you're benefiting from it, but also it's benefiting at the same time? So that's the question, and the Gemara says on the face of it, not. And the answer is because they were not benefiting it, you're harming it. And then the Gemara goes on with this example that we had before about the Parah Adruma and the Egla Arufa, and goes through a couple of other examples like that, where we see on the face of it that you have something like in that case, what we had over here on Amud Aleph, when he brings it into the team over there so that it should nurse from its mother and thresh at the same time. That's Letzorka and Letzorka, and we see it's also, and then we have the same thing that Apapa says about Ovad and Ubad. No, because every 30 days you still have to spread it out, regardless. Yeah. Okay. Toshma, let's bring another proof as far as this machlokas abaya and rava. Moichrik sus moichrin kedarkon. People who are selling clothing are allowed to sell it in the normal way, which is that they wear it in order to model it for the customers, and it can include that they're selling clothes which are shatnez. As long as during the summertime he doesn't have kavana that it'll protect him from the sun, or gshamim, or during the rainy season of gshamim, that it should protect him from the rain, because then the kavana would make it also. That's snuim, mafshirim lachar emamako. On the other hand, the snuim, people who are careful to stay away from anything resembling an avera, they would hold the clothing behind them on a stick. They wouldn't actually wear it on their body. They would hold it on a stick or a hanger behind them. Now, v'ha'hocha to eshel amevet k'tznuin. So let's consider, this is a case where you could do like the tznuim. There's nothing preventing you from being like the tznuim and holding it on a stick behind you. So it's a case of esher. V'chiloi mechaven shori, and still we see that if he's not having kavana, then it's mutter, as in the ratio of the Mishnah. Tiyuf de lamanda masti, lishna kama de rava. So that would be a stira according to the first version of rava. Because in the first version of what rava said, he said over there that even though it's efsher, because it's loy mechaven, even though it's efsher and it's loy mechaven, he said that Reb Shimon still wouldn't allow it. We said in the Gemara at the beginning over there that Reb Yehuda for sure wouldn't allow it, and Rava says that even Reb Shimon would say that where efsher he wouldn't allow it. He would allow it, let's say, in the case of a bench, because it's loy efsher of dragging a bench, but not in a case where efsher. Here it's efsher, and you still see that it's mutter. So that's a contradiction on that first version of Rava. So Tiyuvta, that's a contradiction. So now we're not talking about a carpet anymore. Now we're talking about a person is selling clothing, and the clothing includes shatnez clothing. He's allowed to wear the clothing in the course of selling it. For example, he's modeling it for the customers, or he's carrying it around from one place to another. Yeah. So on the other hand, snuim, hold it on a stick behind them. So we're saying, but the Einim Tznuim are allowed to wear it. So that's an example of Efsher, because they could equally well wear it or hold it on a stick. It's Loy Mechaben, because the Mishnah said if he has Kavana, it would be Osir. And we see, therefore, that it's allowed. So therefore, that contradicts the first version of Rava. The Kavana being, as we said, that No. The Kavana is that the Kavana is to use it as clothing that during the summer it'll protect him from the summer heat, or during the winter that'll protect him from the winter cold. So that kind of Kavana would make it also, because Shatnez, but otherwise not. Now, this is where Tosfos explains before that we have to be talking about it's not Psik Resha. So, for example, it would have to be, let's say, that he's holding it, that he has it draped around his shoulders, let's say, rather than actually wearing it fully. So, if for. It's not really a psik resha that he's going to enjoy it b'chamim p'nei achama over g'shamim p'nei g'shamim. Again, according to the Ran, not necessarily would you need to say that. The fact that he doesn't want to have hana from it itself is considered that it's not that it's not hana, therefore it would be mutter. Whatever the case, that we've schlugged up the first version of Rava. Now, that's all the first version. Then you still have the second version. Now, in that, you have, I mentioned yesterday, there's a Tosfos in Kiddushin that says that when we say the halacha is like a baya in six cases, Ya'al Kagam, they say that the lamed is our case over here, loy efshar over kamachaben, and therefore the halacha would be like a baya that it's mutter. However, most of the Rishonim Paskin, like Rava, as usual in Shas, therefore the halacha would be that whether efshar or whether loy efshar, if you're mechaven, then it's also, if you're not mechaven, then it's mutter. So there are examples of that. For example, let's say a person is walking by a base of a dezara or a tree or an asher, a tree or whatever. So whether efshur, whether loy efshur, either way you can't be mechaven that you're going to enjoy enjoy the smell or the shade or the whatever. Yeah. Okay. New discussion. The Mishnah had said v'lo yasik bo v'cholo. The Mishnah had said that you can't use, while you're burning the chametz, you can't use the chametz to fire up an oven or a stove in order to cook food. So now we're going to talk about more generally using isurei hana for firewood. What are the dinim in it? So Tana Rabbanan, Tano shehisikei b'klikei orla. If you fire it up an oven with shells or peels of fruits of orla, which are also osur, oy bekashin shel kalaya kerem, or using straw that came from kalaya kerem, so you planted grain, let's say you planted wheat near your grapes and they became osur, the straw is also osur, so now you took that straw and you're using it to fire up an oven. So, like this, chodosh, so if it's a new oven, now ovens in those days were usually made out of clay. And the first time you fire it up is necessary in order to harden the oven and make it usable for the future. So if it's a new oven, they have to break it. Because in this case, using the orla, you made it into an oven. So now, from now on, that oven now is a dvar isser. And therefore, Tosfos explains, in other words, it's a concept we're gonna talk about soon in the Gemara, a concept called Yesh Shvach Eitzim Bapas, that within the bread itself that's baked in an oven, you can say there's a noticeable change in it, there's a noticeable improvement in it by the wood that was used to bake it, the same way over here, Yesh Shvach Eitzim Bataner, and therefore the oven itself becomes Osir. Tosfos also says this would have to be. We would have to assume, according to this opinion, zevzeh godem osur, that when you have two factors that contribute to create something, even if only one of them is osur, then the whole thing is osur. Because in this case, what would we be saying? The oven is osur because it was fired up the first time with klipei orla, but later on you're going to be baking bread in it with regular firewood, which is mutter. So you'd have zevzeh godem, and still we're saying it's osur, and you'd have to break the oven. Yoshan Yutzan. On the other hand, if the oven is old, so it was already previously fired up, so then all it is you just fired it up in order to bake bread, Yutzan, so you have to cool it off first, let the heat dissipate, and then you can fire it up with good wood and bake bread in it. Another din, off of Bayis Apas, what happens if you bake bread in the oven with those klipe orla? Rebbe Omer Apas Asura. Rebbe says that the bread will be osur. V'chomer Apas Muteres. Chacham said the bread will be mutter, as we're going to discuss later on why. The Gemara, Rashi also refers over here that later on the Gemara is going to explain that there's a concept that we're talking about avuka kenegdo, that you have, there's an actual noticeable fire in the oven the whole time the bread is baking, so therefore you can say you're actually having hana from the isur when it's still be'ein, when it's still obviously visible. So Rebbe is saying the bread is also, the Chum saying the bread is mutter, as we'll discuss later in the sugya one. On the other hand, if you cooked or baked the bread on the coals, then everybody would agree it's mutter, because by the time you come to bake the bread, the isur has already become coals, and therefore it's not osur anymore. Now, you have, by the way, there are various kinds of isurim. There are things that are osur and have to be burnt. There are things that are osur and have to be buried. The din is the ones that have to be burnt. Once they're burnt, you're allowed to have anah from the ashes. That would be the case over here. Orla and Kalaya Kerem. Well, Orla doesn't really say one way or the other, but Kalaya Kerem, it says, has to be burnt, and therefore, and once it's burnt, you're allowed to have anah from the coals. What we were talking about before is while the Kaliakam, while the straw is still visible in the oven. So, but here, once it already turned into cold, then even Rebbe would agree that the bread is fine, because at that point it's already after the thing is done and it turned into cold. The heat came from something, but the heat is an intangible thing. But that's what we're going to discuss later about the matter of avuka kinegda and so forth. Yeah. Okay. So now the question is, what are you telling me that if the oven is new and you fired it up for the first time with these klipei orla, then you have to break the oven, but otherwise you only have to cool it down? Another braisa says either way, even if it was a first time fired up oven, you only have to cool it off. You don't have to break it. The answer is like kasha had Rebbe or Rabbanan. The answer is one braisa says according to Rebbe, who said that the bread is osur. The same way he would say the oven is osur because it was completed. It was made into an oven by the isur. The second one would be according to the Rabbanan. The question is, Eimer d'shamet le Rebbe mishum b'yashvach etzim apas. You know what? The difference is, you could say Rebbe says the bread is osur because you can say the bread itself has the improvement because of the wood. In other words, the Chachamim are saying that all you have is, it's not really the wood, it's the heat from the wood that baked the bread, and there already you have at the time that the heat, at any particular, you have to think of it, any particular part of the straw or firewood or whatever that's burning, that's heating up the bread, is the part that was already burnt. So the Chachamim are saying, well, that part was already burnt, it's already mutter, therefore you're fine. Whereas Rebbe is saying, no, the fact is, you still have, there's visible wood or visible shells or whatever over there that went into making this bread, therefore it's also. So therefore Rebbe would say the bread is also. Zev is a gerdem mishamatle, but even Rebbe doesn't say, so that's as far as the bread, because you eat the bread, so you can talk about whether there's shvach etzim apas or not. But the oven is a more indirect thing. The oven is going to be used to bake other food later on. When you bake food with it, it's going to be zev as agodim, because you're going to have an oven which is osur, according to Rebbe, and firewood which is mutter. Where do you ever find that Rebbe says zev as agodim should be osur? That he should say you have to break the oven. Rather, the answer is that one braisa, the first braisa, is according to Rabbi Eliezer, and the other one is according to the Rabbanan. We do find a context where Rabbi Eliezer holds that Zev is a Gerdim is also. And now, the next part, the Gemara is going to discuss where we see that Rabbi Eliezer holds that, but that's the point, in other words. So the one braisa that says that you have to break the oven would be saying Zev is a Gerdim is Osir, and therefore you have to break the oven. Now, by the way, Tosfos points out, even if we say Zev is a Gerdim Mutter, it's really only B'dievid. But here, the fact that you would have to break the oven and you're going to lose the whole oven, that's considered like B'dievid, therefore it would be Mutter. On the other hand, if we say that you only have to cool off the oven, it's not such a big hefsid. All you're doing is losing that you need new firewood. That's not a big enough hefsid to say B'dievid. Therefore, you would say you cool off the oven and then you use again, and then you use good wood. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, the oven itself became osur. According to Rabbi Eliezer, according to both the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer, we could say the oven itself was made into an oven with a Dvar Isur, but the Chachamim would say that doesn't matter, because later on you're going to be using regular wood, and Zev is a Gerdim Mutter. Rabbi Eliezer would hold Zev is a Gerdim Osur. The very fact that the oven is osur means forever after anything made in that oven is going to be osur, and therefore that's why he's saying you'd have to break the oven. So now, we'll discuss tomorrow, Best Hashem, where we see that Rabbi Eliezer holds that Zev Zagodim is also. Yeah.
It's not a Hefsid Merubah?
So that's the thing. That's Tosfos is mentioning sort of the matter of Hefsid Merubah. If you say that you would have to tear, that you would have to break the oven, then the Chacham would say that would be, so Rabbi Eliezer says Hefsid Merubah or not. The fact is Zev Zagodim is also, so there's no wiggle room in that. The Chachamim agree that Zev Zagodim is also B'dievid, but that's the thing. They would say that Hefsid Merubah, the fact that you have to break the oven would be a big Hefsid, therefore we're saying we're not going to impose the rule of Zev Zagodim. In that case, we're going to say, given that Zev Zagodim is Mutter B'dievid, this counts as a B'dievid. Mm-hmm. Because of Hefsid Merubah. I mean, Tosfos doesn't use the words Hefsid Merubah, but yeah, that's the implication. As opposed to, again, if we say that all you need to do is cool off the oven, and all you're losing off is that you just have, you don't get to have hana from what you fired it up with originally, you don't get to use the remaining heat in the oven, so that's not such a big Hefsid. Therefore, the Chachamim are going to require you to cool it off. Yeah.
Sheikh.
Sheikh.